On the KSRO live line, well, maybe you saw it last night, 60 Minutes. Lots of people did. High overnight ratings for CBS, as you can imagine, for the Stormy Daniels interview. And on the live line with us this morning is Harry Litman. He's a former U.S. attorney. He also is a professor of law at UCLA. Harry, good to have you with us this morning.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Were there any surprises for you in the interview with Anderson Cooper last night?
I have to say no. I mean, there were some details that she filled in, and a few of them were a little bit curious. The whole parking lot assault by a stranger, that seemed strange and noteworthy. And a couple of things seemed particularly gross, if they're true. The president's invocation of his daughter as a seduction technique seemed odd. But mostly I thought it was straightforward. And an odd thing about this is pretty much everybody, Trump supporters and Trump detractors alike, understand that this affair happened. And I think they've very well played it to bring more attention to it than it otherwise would, with the kind of participation of the Trump team making such a big deal of it, that we have, top ratings on 60 Minutes.
Right. And I guess that's always going to be true when it comes to a sitting president, or in this case, it was an affair. It seems like a one-night stand more than an affair to me, but it's all semantics, I suppose. But at any rate, it's no surprise to any of us that a president, whether it's pre-office or post-office, has had affairs. That part is really not newsworthy. The part that is disturbing is the one you already alluded to, Harry, and that is that the allegation is that Stormy Daniels was getting ready to go into a fitness gym many years ago after this alleged affair happened, and allegedly she was confronted by a man as she was trying to get her infant daughter out of the car, who said, forget about Trump and don't talk about him anymore. And then apparently this person left. She never saw him again. But if that's true, any sort of legal, any sort of threat, whether it was in that case or, implied by Trump's attorney or whatever, that's the real story to me.
Well, I think it's part of it, although it's going to be very hard to connect the dots here. But I don't think it's the only thing. It seems to me that there's a real possibility of an election law violation here.
Yeah, that's true.
Michael Cohen says, it was just a coincidence that we were 2 weeks from the election. I just did it as a pal. But of course, if it has to do with his electoral fortunes, that's an illegal contribution.
Yeah, and we're talking about the $130,000 payment that was made from Cohen to Stormy Daniels with that non-disclosure agreement.
That's right, and also everything that's happened since, because not to put too fine a point on it, but Michael Cohen and Donald Trump are almost certainly not telling the truth. And to the extent they wind up filing papers in court or anything like that, in which Cohen as an attorney or a witness or Trump wind up testifying falsely. Now, that's a big deal. That's how Clinton lost his law license. And so the whole aftermath, now that it's gotten to be a big story, I think is also potentially perilous for the president and his team.
And Harry, can you talk to us about liquidated damages and how this is relevant to this conversation?
I wrote a little piece about that, which I know is on the nerdy side. I used to teach contracts, but I think it matters here. You've all heard about Cohen brandishing this, every time you mention it, another $1 million.
Yeah.
And I wrote an article yesterday to explain why that's just not true. You can't just, when you make a contract, say a billion zillion dollars. There's contract law that says it has to be an actual fair anticipation of the damages you would in fact sustain.
Uh-huh.
And that it's every breach. I think it's pretty clear that even if the first breach here had been right before the election and had been damaging, the subsequent ones wouldn't be. And so it's not a legal clause. That means it just goes out of the contract. and I actually don't think she's at any risk of having to pay $1 million
every time she speaks about it.
Five times.
And what about that non-disclosure agreement? Is it legal if the president didn't sign it? And does it matter that he may have used or wanted to use a pseudonym in that agreement?
Right. Mr. Dennison, I think the short answer is it doesn't matter. I know that that her attorneys made a big deal of this, but they got the $130,000, and that's the sort of bargain on their side. It's not essential that he sign it. It's not essential that he use his real name. So I actually think that claim advantaged Trump.
Okay. And, of course, the legal ramifications are, you know, we'll see if it rolls past Trump's attorney to Trump. But certainly the attorney, Mark Cohen, is, you know, could have some legal ramifications if this campaign contribution aspect of it finally goes through.
Yeah, I think he's in big trouble, frankly. I think he's just used to kind of about things, but he's playing in a different league here than he's used to, and I think he's, you know, struck people as not a straight shooter, and I think he could be maneuvered into a corner where he winds up in really hot soup. The papers were filed by his attorney. He's now gotten an attorney.
He does have
so
an attorney.
The attorney
yes.
can say the words. Cohen doesn't have to. I nevertheless think Cohen has already crossed a line and will probably be the worst for this whole episode.
And what about the future for Stormy Daniels? I have a feeling that $130,000 payment will be just a drop in the bucket moving forward.
It sure seems like it, doesn't it? I mean, that's the other thing that struck me about last night. I don't know if you agreed, but you seem quite poised, funny, smart, and, you know, her own boss for sure.
Yeah.
And I think her fame will abide after this episode. I don't know where it takes her exactly, but I think she and her attorney have actually outmaneuvered the president. You know, it could be in 6 months she's a footnote, but kind of like Monica Lewinsky, she'll always have a certain fame, and she could parlay it into bigger stuff, and she seems like smart enough cookie to do just that.
Yes, she does. Yeah. Originally, I thought, well, okay, here comes the book. But really, after a one-night stand, it would be more like Cliff Notes, wouldn't it? That's not long enough.
Yeah.
It didn't take place long enough, allegedly, for it to create a new book or anything like that. But you're right. Her name is certainly in the lexicon now of popular culture. And of course, another question for all of us is, okay, now that this gate has opened, how many more will come through?
That's right. I mean, look, there's already two that have come through this week. The defamation suit, which itself entails other people, other accusers as witnesses, and the Playboy bunny. You know, so far people have not been too struck by the whole thing. But if he's maneuvered into lying, maybe that changes things. I kind of thought he had insulated himself from all this in the campaign, but it looks like as of now, this is the thing that's front and center in putting him in trouble.
But when you see
it's going to keep happening.
When you see Harry, the fallout that didn't occur after the comments on the bus and after the number of women who came forward and said that he had somehow accosted or abused them, nothing came of that virtually. And so it's hard to imagine that this will lead to any different outcome.
That would be my sense, except one, you do have the election angle, but that's not going to be that serious. But you do have, if they're stupid enough, and so far they are, to really try to fight this in court, you do have real possibilities where they wind up getting crosswise with a judge, and that could matter. You know, the Republicans have shown no appetite for trying to push back on him, but remember, they were so strongly on record with Clinton saying it's not the affair, it's the lies.
Right.
And if he's really exposed in flagrant lies, are they going to be able to say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's old news? I mean, maybe they will. But if this actually turns out to show him not just as a sexual offender, but as a big liar, well, you know, maybe. I tend to agree with you. This is not the world in which Donald Trump is brought down. I don't see this being the cause, but it's also been a more active and troublesome for him couple weeks than I would have predicted.
And certainly, as conclusions go, Harry, we can certainly agree that Stormy Daniels gained some credibility in the interview last night and that CNN made some money on advertising. No question about it.
That's such a funny part of this. You know, I mean, from the start, right, Trump was pushed forward to prominence as a candidate because he was such good TV. He was considered a joke as a candidate initially, but they had all these one-on-ones with him. And, you know, basically, because there was this this corporate goal of making money and exposure, and he was good TV, and now he's our president.
So it just goes to show you what we know, right?
Right.
Well, it'll be interesting moving forward. And Harry, love to see you again as this whole thing progresses.
Please do.
All right. Thanks for being here. That is Harry Litman, former U.S. attorney and professor of law at UCLA, talking about last night's interview. Certainly not the last we've heard of that.